I am so thankful for Phil Brown and the fact that the Master has touched his life and touched his soul. And you can hear it in his words. And it's so gratifying to see the work of the Holy Spirit in a life like that. Well, I was getting ready for church this morning, and as always, my wife is watching how I'm dressing, tells me what to wear, what tie is right, and even to the color of the shoes that I should be, that goes with the outfit that I'm wearing. And this morning, I was getting ready, and she came in, and she said, "Now, I've got to brush the lint off of your clothes." And I stood there, and she began to have that roller, you know, that you run over it. And then she said, "Put on that black wool coat, by the way, to pick up every bit of lint and debris that you can imagine just by walking anywhere." And so I was standing there with this coat on, zipped up, warm, you know, and she was getting the lint off. And she said, "You know something, Grant, appearances count for something," because I was complaining. I said, "Sweetheart, the Lord looketh upon the heart." She said, "In that case, you are really in trouble." It's amazing what we leave to come to this place. Well, I've been talking about a 23rd Psalm, and I appreciate Phil taking us right up to the point where I will begin today. But the most dominant thing about the 23rd Psalm that is absolutely essential to its beauty and to its power. And by the way, we look at the 23rd Psalm through the eyes of Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. He fulfilled the 23rd Psalm and gave it a profound depth that it couldn't have otherwise. But the most important thing that occurs in this psalm is that first we must choose the shepherd. And David wrote this psalm, it is believed, when he was an old man. He'd been over the road. He knew what it was to go through the dark valleys, the green pastures, and all of that. But he begins this with an affirmation, "The Lord is my shepherd." And I want you to pay close attention to that little word, "my." That is a pronoun. It's a singular, personal pronoun. And the first message I preached on the 23rd Psalm was, it's personal. And when you say, "The Lord is my shepherd," you're making it personal. That's a personal, singular pronoun. He is my shepherd. And that is first and foremost that we must affirm and understand before the beauty and the power of God can come to us from the intrinsic power that's in that. And I think, ladies and gentlemen, that before we go out and change the structures of society, we need to let the Lord touch our hearts and change the structures of our souls. And then we're empowered and released to make a difference out there in the world. But first, it's paramount to know the Good Shepherd and be in a relationship with Him. Because if you choose the wrong shepherd, you're going to be on the wrong road. And when you're on the wrong road going in the wrong direction, you're going to end up at the wrong place. But if you choose the right shepherd, you're going to be on the right road going in the right direction, and you're going to end up at the right place. Now we come to that verse of Scripture, "He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake." There's another rendition of that verse that goes like this. He leads me. He leads me to the right paths and helps me to do what honors Him the most. And so this phrase here, "The Lord is my shepherd, He leads me to the right paths of righteousness, and He empowers me to do what brings the most honor to Him." And then we're in the business of bringing honor to the reality of God by who we are and what we do. I don't know if you are aware of Jeremy Lin, this nobody, this unknown person, sitting on the bench waiting for an opportunity to give and use the talents that he had that God put in him. But we didn't even know who he was. And suddenly, through a set of circumstances, the coach puts him in. And a losing team, the New York Knicks. And I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, he's got astounding basketball ability. He just can scorch that floor. It is amazing and stunning, his ability. But one of the most other amazing things about Jeremy Lin is the fact that he is absolutely a committed Christian who is trying to follow and bring honor to the name of his Lord. And I found out this past week that he wears a yellow wristband on both wrists. And inscribed on the wristband is this: I play in the name of Jesus Christ. What a way to live life and bring honor to the reality of Christ. I play for Jesus Christ. How about I preach to honor Jesus Christ? And wherever you are, whether you teach or whatever you do, that you do it in the name of Jesus Christ to bring honor and glory to Him. You can knock that boy down and he gets up smiling. You can criticize him, and yet he is on the path of God. He is living a life of righteousness. And it's just amazing to behold this young man. Now, Jesus does identify himself as the Good Shepherd. And in the upper room, from the reading that Phil shared with us, the Good Shepherd is talking about leading those disciples to the Father's house. Jesus was always in the shepherding business. No matter where he went or what he did, he was trying to lead people from this to that and finally to the Father's house. And here they are in the upper room, and he says, I'm going to go away, and I'm going to go back to the Father. And in my Father's house are many mansions. There's lots of room in the Father's house. Lots of room. And I'm going to come back, and I'm going to receive you and take you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. Now, here's a good shepherd saying, this is how you get to the Father's house. But thank God there was a doubter in that room by the name of Thomas. And he asked the Lord a question. The Lord says, you know where I'm going. And Thomas said, in exasperation, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How do you get there? And he looked at Thomas, he said, Thomas, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Here's the good shepherd, you know, he's just saying, this is how you're going to get to the Father's house. This is how I'm the way to truth. I am the way to the Father's house. I'm the way to ultimate truth, true truth. And when life ends, I will lead you to the Father's house. That is a real shepherd. When I was a young boy back in the mountains of southern West Virginia, in my life I've had great dogs. I'm not talking about church members now. I'm talking about the dogs that I've had in my life. But this dog's name, when I was about 10, 11, 12, and 13, her name was Fanny. Now, don't ask me where that name came from. Perhaps she's always fanning and swishing her tail, but she was a beautiful little brown dog, and everywhere I would go, she would follow me. All she wanted in her life was simply to be with me. And we could go off to the mountains to hunting or what have you, and my mother would lock her in the door in the house so that she wouldn't follow us. But when she'd let her out hours later, she would sniff her way and she would find me wherever I was in the mountains. You know, The Lord God, our Father, ladies and gentlemen, that's all He wants. He just simply wants to be with us. And He wants us to be with Him. He wants a relationship that empowers our life and liberates our lives. That's all He wants from us. But one time when we were out in the mountains, and Fanny was with us, and we were getting ready to come home after big camping on New River in the New River Gorge, and in those mountains, thousands and thousands of acres, you can get lost. I had never been lost, but this time a storm was coming up and we were in a hurry. And we actually, my friend and I, we got lost. We were simply lost. And we didn't know. We had gone around in circles and done everything we could, and it was beginning to rain. And the little dog followed us right along. And suddenly we stopped in a little clearing. Standing there, I looked at my friend. He looked at me, and that dog was looking at us. And suddenly the dog turns and just begins to leave. And we looked at each other. We decided we were going to follow that dog. And you know something, ladies and gentlemen? That dog led us out of the woods. Led us back to the path that took us home. That's what the Good Shepherd is all about. He'll lead us out of the woods. He'll lead us out of darkness into light, out of confusion into clarity, out of despair into hope, out of death into life. He will lead us like, just like my little dog, Fanny. You know, sin simply means, in its true meaning, it means missing the target, missing the whole point of life. But the interesting thing is, in this faith, if you're on the wrong road, you can get off of that road, you can make a U-turn and come back, and God will put you on the right road. He'll lead you to the right road. Now, Jesus is not only the way through and out of the woods, he helps us in the challenges of our lives. There will be a few Gethsemanes in our lives, as you know. There are going to be a few times in the dark valleys of our lives, but the shepherd will lead us and he will be with us. And the Lord doesn't always lead us in a straight path. This is one thing I have certainly found out in my life. I might want to get here and take the shortest route and the easiest route possible to get there. The Lord says, wait a minute, I'm going to lead you in a circle around that because you're not quite ready for that yet. And so he'll lead me around it and bring me right back to where I ought to be going at the right time in the right way. Think about the children of Israel, called to the promised land. All of us are called to realize the promise of God that's in us. Called to the promised land. They say about 1 million of them. That's a lot of people making their way. And had they gone straight from Egypt to the promised land, they could have done it in 3 days. But the Lord said, no, wait a minute. We're not going to go take a straight route. I'm going to take you down in a southern route around the Sinai Peninsula to Sinai Mountain because you know something? You need some moral guidelines. And so he takes us in a circle, you see, and brings us back, and we face the promised land. But in order to get to the promised land, the Lord sometimes will lead us around. Sometimes he will lead us through. But Jesus is the way to the Father's house. And our Lord in the upper room, he said, you know, when you leave this room tonight, you're going to suffer. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be thrown out of the synagogues. And all of these things are going to happen to you. But in the end, there is the Father's house. William Barclay is one of the mentors of my soul. He's passed away a few years ago. I have his commentaries on the shelf in my home. And this man, when he was dying in his 90s, he said, you know something? When I die, I'd like to just slip out of the room without any fuss, slip out quietly. He said, because where I have been, and my, what a life, but where I've been is not as important as to where I am going. You know something, ladies and gentlemen? We're defined by where we are going. What's at the end of the road? We are God's people on the way to the Father's house, just like the children of Israel were God's people on the way to the promised land. And it's not where you've been that will define you, it's where you are going. I remember back in the days when I was jogging, and now I'm contemplating trying to walk. And I was running down New London Road and up a hill, and just one of my members happened to live there, and boy, I was sweating and just about exhausted, and he happened to be coming out checking his mailbox, and he said, well, Pastor Montgomery, what are you running from? You know, that's what a psychologist, that's the first thing he'll tell you. You're defined by your past. And I said, you know something, my good friend, it's not what I'm running from, it's what I'm running to. Running in the path of God, the righteousness of God, attempting to bring glory and honor to his name. But at the end of it all, I'm running to the Father's house. At the end of it all, the shepherd leads us home. There's an Iranian minister that has been condemned to death because he is a Christian pastor. Condemned to death. And I heard this week that he's still alive, but any day they could take him out and put him to death. They won't do that if he denounces his Christian faith. You know something? That Christian pastor is not going to do that. Because he knows that even if they take his life on the other side, the shepherd will lead him to the Father's house. And with that is great power and a sense of direction and the grace of God in these valleys that the shepherd leads us through to the other side. Amen and amen.